I'm passing this out. And it's a meme that's going on. And I had not heard of it till today. But my lesson is going to be a center there too. The number 6 and 7, a rapper started it. Do you know anything about it? It's sweeping the college and high schools. 6, 7, 6, 7. Very interesting, because I do believe that those are numbers we're dealing with right now. Man's Day, the Lord's Day. Now, this certainly isn't coming from the Lord's inspiration, as you can see. I believe the rapper is quite an ungodly man. So I'll leave that. Interesting. Jeannie first heard one of her grandchildren say it, and she said, "What are you saying?" Well, she said, "That's what everyone's saying." Now, I think that should encourage you how close we are to the coming of the Lord. And the dark side knows what those numbers mean, and so do we. But these that are speaking these as the memes, I guess they call it, they don't know what they are. They don't have any idea what that means. It just clicked, and it spiraled. Or viral, I should say. Well, we're going to continue our message. And I hate to say it's a very small remnant, but that's true. And we're weathering what Paul said was no small storm. And I'm so thankful for the template of the last days in Acts 27. I'm thankful because it's a compass. And someone said in the storm, trust the Lord and trust the compass. And I believe in that order. And I think it's important. And trust the apostolic agreement. I'm not going over all that, but trust that which delivered to us the faith once delivered, and the more sure word of prophecy. Think of all three of these were prisoners. Two were given to martyrdom and seal their testimony by their own blood. And John was in complete isolation on the Isle of Patmos. It was survival. They gave them nothing. And you think about all the price that was paid. And history proves that it was effectual, as the evil plot of Rome was thwarted. And the evil plot that just about came upon us again, as the revived Roman Empire, was also thwarted by standing on the word. God only needs two or three. That is very powerful with him. And so all I say is we're weathering this storm, this two-part storm, two storm fronts. In fact, it formed a perfect storm. And the intensity has been greater than any of us imagined. And we certainly are in the time of no sun, moon, or stars. You say, I don't understand that, and I think the heavenly call is really almost invisible right now. And times and seasons message. And those are dependent upon those heavenly bodies. So once again, all of us know that a small remnant is holding, and I believe God is going to stand by his word. I've already said it, the more sure word of prophecy, the faith once delivered, and the finished work that Christ performed, which was finished from the beginning of the cosmos. It was finished again in Genesis 3 in type. And now our Lord finished it. So thank the Lord for that. Now we understand by the intensity of the storm that there has to be an intense moving of the Holy Spirit to match it. It has to. And I'm asking myself the question, how will the church react to this outpour of the Holy Spirit? And I was thinking today, the majority of Christendom, 80 to 85%, is pretty well in covenant theology, leaving approximately 15% that might receive the message, the rest and the refreshing. Now that doesn't mean there aren't individuals in these other great movements that God can call anyone's name out. But as I look at that and I look at the wheels in Ezekiel 1, God is coming to do a short work through our Lord. And that's what those wheels are about. But first, he needs a priesthood. And I was thinking today of the tabernacle. I thought of the Lord. You know, it's his promotion, Psalm 75. It's not ours. His promotion from the north. That's what that is all about, that whole cloud and everything that you see in Ezekiel 1. And when we were caught in it, we begin to experience at least some trials in our life, I know for sure. And that's the Ark of the Covenant coming down. And then I couldn't help but think of the greater ark that the Lord pitched, and realizing that the body of Christ and the bride of Christ formed that tabernacle. Because when our Lord was here, he was tabernacled in flesh and blood. But went away, he began building the tabernacle of his church. And so I wonder in my heart how the church will receive this final move of the Holy Spirit. And I think that's the reason we're going to look at the spies of unbelief, so you will have a better understanding of what this generation has been given. And today, when we look at those reports of the spies, two of them good reports, 2 of 10 were evil, and most of those evil reports have become doctrine. So that make you that should make you rest, or not rest, that you understand the state of the church. I think this is going to be very, very, very important. This is the Lord's tabernacle. And do you remember some of the Old Testament accounts of the tabernacle? I was thinking of times when they went in, brought in strange fire, Nadab and Abihu, and they were Aaron's sons. And they just borrowed fire off of another source other than under the altar, the brazen altar. That's where they had to take that fire. You weren't allowed to go out and get another fire. But they borrowed, it was probably easy to do, and lit their censers. And most of you know that they were smitten dead. So it makes you wonder what it's going to be like when the Lord moves back into his tabernacle again. It makes you wonder about the shewbread and the candlestick. All of those things are going to have to be restored. So I will leave that for another study. But it is something to think about. And everybody says, oh, we want the Lord to come. But I don't think they realize what that coming is going to entail. No one has. We probably haven't either, fully. All right, I'm going on from this. I wanted to lay the foundation for our other study. We're returning again to the ancient book of Job. And thank you, Bob, again for that message. If you didn't do anything else, you added Job. And that was such a blessing to my heart. Those three men, they all have a place when you think about it. Certainly, Noah condemned the world, and also it's a type of the ark of safety. And I believe that studies on the Noah and the ark will be very, very interesting here as to the living church. Keep your heart open on that, because when they went on board, they walked on board. So we have a type. And also, it's going to be important to Daniel, how important Daniel is going to be to Israel. He's holding the key for that little nation. And Job is teaching us how to lay hold of the high and heavenly calling. That's what he's teaching you. And so we call this a mystery book because the church age was a mystery age. Every time I look at all these mysteries, all 12 of them too belong to John. And I think there's probably very few in the church that even understands one or two of these mysteries. That is alarming. And so we understand, we've been studying it. It's full of ancient wisdom from the Ancient of Days, because we are going to engage the ancient serpent. We are, as this last generation. And understanding how Satan felt about the church, we should see it here in Job. He came all the way down and walked throughout the earth. Now that meant he had access, didn't it? And then he walked around Job. That's where he centered his attention. He stalked him. He desired to destroy his faith and even his life, if possible, but he was not given that particular permission. But nonetheless, we should learn from it. Where do you think the enemy's going to stalk? Whom is he going to stalk? A little company that's laying hold of these mysteries. Amen. I'll say again, when I started studying this book of Job, and it started a long time ago. I've been in the hospital, I don't know how many times, trying to keep this book from going forth. I can't think of a more important book, and that's why that message meant so much to me, to see Job's name there, how important he is. I'm not going over everything that we usually go over. I'm just going to say his three-part trial we receive a revelation from the book of Job about the hedge. It isn't anywhere else. Did you know Job didn't know about this hedge? He didn't. It was a conversation between God and the adversary. The three friends give you a unique insight into the composition of Christendom. Where else could you gain that? When I look at the church, I understand Christendom pretty well from this study. And the system of Christendom, except for those that escape, is probably going down into 666. As the harlot church. Now there are believers there that will have to come out. But this system is going right down in. And that's why I shared this little meme. Isn't that interesting? 666. Let's look at the number for just a moment. We know from the King James it is 660, and Jerry says I shouldn't say 06, so I'll leave that off. But nonetheless, 666. So that is the number. Hold on to it from your King James Version. Because everybody knows 666, but it may come a different way. We'll need that information. What is it formed from? Number one, man was created on the sixth day of creation. Man was given 6,000 years as man's day. And a man is going to rise that reaches perfection. Human perfection in his own. Now that probably doesn't sound like the Antichrist to you, but it will be. I ask you to remember Cain. And you would understand someone that could go right out of the presence of the Lord because they didn't need a sacrifice. I want to say something. Do you know that that number belongs to our Lord? Because he was created here too through Mary. That same formula. But he really did reach perfection under 777. So that's why this is so interesting to me, this meme, 6767. And their rappers, they're playing it all over. Some of you know about that. And it's just chanting it. 6767, 6767. Did you know that? I suppose not. I didn't till today. And so the number belongs to the Lord. I know that shocks everybody, but it does. He was the perfect man. He reached true perfection. And he's born of Mary, you know. So he's a man. He's not just God, he's a man. And he's the man that's going to reign very soon. And this number really does belong to him under 777. Okay, I'm not going to say any more than that. So it'll give you an understanding of the importance of this number. It's not just Antichrist. Remember, that word Antichrist means also pseudo-Christ. Did you know that? Not only against, but in the place of. So, you know, I think that gives us, we probably are going to understand what they're chanting more than anybody. But nonetheless, it's a sign that we're not so far from all of these things. Now, I want to, as we're going through this, I want to share revelation knowledge that Job was pressed into through this trial. How many of you know that there are real trials that press us into revelation knowledge? And I know that for myself, and I never would have laid hold had I not been in a position that I had to have something. I just had to lay, I had to lay hold. And it was there. And we don't think sometimes that the trials in our life are pressing us into revelation knowledge. Amen? They are. We would rather not endure them. We want the Lord to take it away. We want the Lord to deliver us, and he does. But they usually accompany revelation knowledge of the word. It's true. And the only one I was going to share with you was Job and his wife in 9 and 10. And that's found in chapter 2, 9 and 10. When his wife, and I'll read it, then said his wife unto him, dost thou retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said to her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? And all this did Job not sin with his lips. Now the closest person in the whole world to Job was his wife. And she was a weaker vessel. I understand how she had a momentary lapse. I certainly do. I think if you realize Christ in the church, it would help you grasp that the church has probably taken a few laps. And we will too in the future. We're not at his stature. But there was this is a wonderful revelation given to Job. How many of us praise God in the good times? Oh, God is good. He did this. And I thank the Lord for good reports. I do. I had a good report today from my doctor, and I praise the Lord for it. But even if I hadn't, it's still faithful. He's still the same God. But we gladly, how about when evil comes? If you're like me, you don't welcome that, can't. But when you receive it from his hand, by his permission, which is what we were taught in Job, Satan cannot send a trial into your life without the permission of the Lord. So when we take it from his hand, then all things work together for good. All right? Then you begin to see, all right, Lord, I know that through some trials that I went through, I was pressed. I had to lay hold of the Lord. I didn't have anybody, but the room was full of visitors and everybody was trying to comfort me, but I had to take hold of the Lord. I had to. And he was there. And he's going to be there for you, too. Sometimes we have to be pressed. It reminds you of the woman that pressed in. Remember, it touched the hem of his garment. It takes pressure sometimes for us. Otherwise, we would enjoy the wonderful blessings of the Lord. In Isaiah 55, now this may take a little different, but I think it's from the Lord. Isaiah 55, 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now the Lord is saying right here, his first thought is not your natural. It's not. He's thinking about your spiritual welfare. Yes, then the natural. That helps me. And I thought after the Lord lived here 34 years and died, He didn't own anything. It was just so, such an example of, it's not here. I want you to lay hold of the eternal. He lived that by example. He did. Probably more than we will ever be asked to do. But nonetheless, it's all about the spiritual for with God. And if he can get you to lay hold of more of spiritual knowledge, more of the kingdom, more of his glory, more of whatever, he may allow something to come to do that, to press us into that. And that's what he said, my ways, I don't think like you do. I'm thinking up here. You're thinking down here. But if he meets your spiritual need, do you know he will meet your natural? That's the order. That's the order. Take hold of him and you'll find it to be true. He speaks of the rain coming down, the snow. I won't go into all this. What happened to the rain? What happened to the snow? It didn't return unto the Lord, but it was doing something. It watered the earth and stayed famine from the world. Do you know the Lord's feeding the whole world? And I don't know very many that are probably praising him. Most of them are cursing him. And he's worried about their bread. He sends a rain. That's why when Moses was asked to see his glory, he was given all that information. God is so good. He's wonderful to his creation. He cares about every little bird, every little flower. It's hard for us to realize that, how wonderful and loving he is. You think of some of those countries over there, even that are in such darkness, you know, the Lord still sends a rain on them. He still waters their crops because he's good. And I think believers ought to know that more than the world. He's good. Whatever comes from his hand is going to work good in your life and mine. Verse 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper. Now we dip down into the ministry when you can't see what God is doing. You say, why should I just preach the word? Why should I preach to two or three? Why should I stand there? Why should I do that? Because that word won't return void. It's going to do what he has accomplished it to do. It's not, I don't have to think what he's going to do. I know that he's going to work something out of that word. If it's the true word and you're speaking it, it is going to accomplish something in hearts and lives. So there that's the end of that revelation. What a wonderful thing to understand God's order and then try to flow into that as much as you can. And you'll find God, he'll meet your natural need too. He will, after he's done the spiritual work in our lives. Now, I have a few minutes left. And we're going to be introducing the study of the 12 spies at Kadesh Barnea. Now, if you have your notes, I hope you do. But the main thing I want to say, this study is going to be very important. It comes from the book of Numbers. And if you remember, after the Exodus, Israel was 2 years getting to the Jordan. And it was at Kadesh Barnea that they spent spies in the land. Two returned with a good report of faith. 10 with an evil report. And that generation fell in the wilderness for that time period, the next 38 years. And then when Moses began to say, rise up, it's time to go northward, he was dealing with that generation that had received those 10 evil reports, and they had become doctrine. I'm hoping you're hearing me there. Some of these things that are evil reports have become the doctrines of men, but they have become doctrine. How many of you know that doctrine is a stronghold? Think about the doctrine of Galatianism, holding the majority of the people we hope to cross over the Jordan yet in one of the ranks. Think of those that are in the stronghold against the refreshing of the Lord. So when I say this, we are so anxious for an outpour of the Spirit. I know I am. I long for it. I'm praying for it. I'm waiting for it. And I thought, Lord, why do we need this study? Because we need to be balanced by how this generation is going to receive this outpour. And so when it got time for Moses to say, rise up and turn northward, you're looking at the generation today that this end time message is not necessarily going to be received readily. Even with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, it will be intense. I believe that. The Lord will have to do that to speak to the church. But you just think about Moses, and I'll close on this note. I have a few more minutes. They had been wandering around one rock for 38 years. And when he said, turn northward, there was rebellion. Mutiny on the bounty, someone said. You don't think about that. They didn't want that message. This camp was beset with weariness, discouragement. Then serpents were in the camp that bit them. And they had to go in for a divine healing from that. I'm just giving you an overview right now that I know and I want a great, and I know God is going to send a tremendous move in order to overwhelm. Do you remember when Bob had that word? I heard it. Overwhelm. His spirit will overwhelm the opposition. It will have to. If God is going to get these people out of here, it will overwhelm the unbelief. It will overwhelm the opposition. Oh, praise the Lord. I know that was from the Lord. But at the same time, we're going to need to understand and be prepared for the opposition. It's not your fault. It's the fact that these 10 spies delivered an evil report, and they were the leaders, they were the pastors, spiritual leaders down through the church age that have delivered some of these things, and they have become doctrine. So that will explain why we're going to study. Now God holds these spies all accountable. Spiritual leaders today, James 3:1 tells us not to desire those places. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. And you think about spiritual leaders it's going to be a very difficult time for them, very. And if they've delivered an evil report, do you know that's almost impossible to repent of? I mean, it's almost impossible. Now, some will. But they're going to be accountable for the things that they have ministered. This is where the crema is going to come in with this move of the Holy Spirit. It will come in, and I'm going to close. It's going to be our responsibility to speak all the truth without fear or favor. And there will be times you probably, like Peter, on the day of Pentecost, he received boldness, but before that, not so bold. And so it will cost something to stand up and say, this is the word of the Lord that we understand. You can preach the gospel, the Lord will anoint it. Don't worry about that. He's going to anoint the truth. Amen? And they're going to look at you and say, what in the world is upon these people? You know, but it'll be the anointing of the Holy Spirit. But then again, they're going to battle doctrine. They're going to battle their system. And so this is going to be a difficult time. You have a foreshadowing of it when Ezekiel had to go to the house of God. You remember that? Chapter 2. Now Ezekiel visited the house of Israel, and he went in the heat of his spirit. He didn't want to go because already the Lord has told him that you'll be much rejected. And so I am just preparing our hearts. Doesn't change the message. Doesn't change the fact that it's from the Lord. But prepare your hearts. Amen? And you'll ask the Lord, overwhelm. Just overwhelm the opposition. Overwhelm it. And he will. I do believe that. And the word will go out. It's not going to return void. God's going to do a work. Amen. That's the end of my time. I didn't get very far. I hope this message made sense. If it didn't, we'll repeat it. But to understand, the Holy Spirit, as powerful as he is, he's a two-edged sword. But expect also opposition. Yes. But for that opposition, God will give you more boldness, more strength. Your forehead will become like flint. It will before this is over by flint. Amen. We'll just stand for the word of God, and the Lord will stand with us. Let's stand. Lord, thank you. You're going to stand with us in these times, and it's coming, and we know it by the times. We look at everything, Lord, and we know you intend to get as many out of your church as you possibly can through the open. We know that's your intent. We know that's what the Holy Spirit is going to do. And you haven't asked us to do anything but go stand and speak the word that I put in your mouth under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and let God do the work. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.